أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Well, we're going to go back to Quran City now after a break. And we're going to start looking at the top left-hand corner of Quran City, which we've called Woman's Corner. And Woman's Corner has four chapters in it. It's basically because of the names of the chapters. So there's Surah number 4, which is Surah An-Nisa, the women. Then Surah number 58, which is Surah Al-Mujadila, the pleading woman. Surah number 60, which is Surah Al-Mumtahana, the examined woman. And Surah number 19, which is named after Sayyidah Maryam, and it's actually called Maryam. But today we're going to look at Surah Al-Mujadila, which is Surah number 58. I absolutely adore this surah. 22 ayat. It's a Madani surah. And we'll look at the benefits of recitation first. It's a shafa for illness. So if you're ill and you recite it, or you recite it on water and drink it, has an amazing effect. It is an ease to restlessness, and it really does work. If you find you're not feeling good inside, you're restless, anxiety, whatever, recite Surah Al-Mujadila. If you cannot recite it at somebody in the family, recite it in water and give it to them. It's safety from jinn and men. And if it's recited with Surah Al-Hadid, then there will be no torment or no poverty or no evil in life. Now, it's called Mujadila, and it's named after the pleading or the debating of a lady called Khawla bint Ta'laba. So she comes to the Prophet and she tells him about the way her husband divorced her. Now, he didn't actually divorce her. This was a pre-Islamic practice where she was not free to contract another marriage. So the surah is also known as Al-Zihar, and this is the practice of Zihar, where a man could renounce his wife simply by saying she was to him like his mother. And then that would mean that he was free from all his responsibilities to her, but she was not free to leave him. So she didn't complain to the Prophet. She came to debate, to plead to him about this injustice, but she complained to Allah. And it's beautiful. Let's look at the first ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah has heard, has listened to قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ, of she who pleaded to you, فِي زَوْجِهَا, about her spouse. وَتَشْتَقِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, she complained to Allah. وَاللَّهُ سَمِعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا, Allah has heard her conversation. And in Allah Samiun Alim, in Allah Samiun Basir, Allah is all hearing and all seeing. And then for this woman, he changes a whole law that the pre-Islamic Arabs used to use. Alladhina yudahiruna minkum min nisahim. Those of you who liken your women like your mothers, put them behind your back, as they used to call it. Ma hunna ummahatim. They are not your mothers. In ummahatuhum illa la'i waladnahum. Your moms are those who gave you birth. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَزُورًا. And what you are saying is hateful, is disgusting. And it's a lie, it's a false statement. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. Allah is pardoning and merciful, or pardoning and all-forgiving. So the first section is where divinity's response to the plea of a woman. The second section, which is ayah 5 to 6, looks at the consequences of opposing divinity and his messenger. And Allah in this statement says that if you do that, there will be humiliation when all humanity is gathered, which is on the day of judgment. When you are standing up to be accountable, this will be the consequence of opposing divinity and the Prophet. The third section is from ayah 7 to 11. And here, Allah says he is a constant witness over everything, public and private. And there is a condemnation of secret meetings that are held to hijack or demean a larger meeting. See, there is Shura and then there's Najwa. Shura is a meeting of people who get together to discuss ideas. So there's an open exchange of ideas to get to a productive conclusion. Najwa, linguistically, actually means to escape from the larger group and hold a meeting in private. And normally it's this disruptive collective work which then comes to a main meeting with an agenda to demean or dishonor the speaker or that person in charge of the meeting. And in ayah 8, Allah forbids this. Alam tara alladhina nahu anin najwa. Do you not see those who are forbidden to do these secret little meetings or breakout meetings? Thumma ya'uduna lima nahu anhu wa tanajawna bil ithmi wal udwan. They return to what's forbidden and they hold secret meetings for sin and to cause animosity. And he continues, the other reason is wa ma'siyatur rasul, to disobey the messenger. And the only sort of secret meetings that Allah says are acceptable are those where you give each other counsel of goodness and guarding against evil, increasing one's God consciousness. And this is also found in Surah An-Nisa, that's Surah number 4, Ayah 114. And then to stop this trouble in a meeting, I mean, Allah puts it so beautifully. Actually talks about social distancing. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, إِذَا كِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّهُ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَهُ. When you're told to spread out, to make room in your assemblies, then make room. Historically, it was about the people of Suffa. They were all sitting there, which is like where the homeless shelter was in Medina. And the Prophet was talking to them. It was packed. And then the soldiers from Badr come and they greet the Prophet and nobody moves to give them space. And when the Prophet tells people to move to give them space and they do, those who were opposing the Prophet, what we call the hypocrites in Medina, sort of started talking that he was favoring them, etc., etc. But here, in essence, it's talking about social distancing. Sit apart. Don't nudge each other. Don't snigger. Don't constantly whisper when you're listening to something, which is what they used to do. Don't disrupt the speaker. And then it continues to say, when you're told to rise up, that means when it's finished, get up, rise up and go home. Don't sit there and then have more gossip. Section 4 talks about the private consultations that those who were hypocrites wanted with the Prophet. They wanted a photo shoot with him, so they could get some sort of validation of being Muslims. And here Allah says, you want to have private consultations with the Prophet? Give charity first. Now they were wealthy. They didn't want to part with their money. Only wanted meetings to show themselves. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says that there is one verse of the Quran upon which only I acted. He had one dinar. He split it into then 10 dirhams, and whenever he wished to see the Prophet privately, he would give one to charity. Section 5, which is from Ayah 14 to 21, lists the nature of hypocrisy. So there are six qualities. One, they're neither believers nor unbelievers, neither here nor there. They swear falsely. Number 3, they use their oaths as a cover. This was the oath of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They lie. They will even swear on judgment day, assuming they will get away with it. In other words, they've become so good with their lies that they've convinced themselves. And finally, they forget the remembrance of Allah. Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, when he talked to the army of Yazid, quoted Ayah 19 when he said, "Istahwadha alayhimu shaytanu fa'ansahum dhikrallah." The shaytan has gained so much mastery over you that he has made you forget the remembrance of Allah. And finally, the last section, which is the last ayah, it is beautiful. Allah says, you will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day and in accountability. You will not find them befriending. In other words, they will not show any love to those who act in opposition to Allah and His Messenger, even though they may be their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their family. And the bit that I like, these are those into whose hearts He has engraved Iman. Can you imagine? Iman of Allah, I mean the love of Allah, embroidered, engraved into your heart. And He strengthens them with inspiration, causes them to enter gardens beneath which rivers flow. It's just amazing. And again, it reminds us of the companions of Imam Hussein on the plains of Karbala. Allah calls them Hizbullah, the party of Allah. And Salman al-Farsi says that the Prophet put his hand on his shoulder and said, "This man," pointing to Imam Ali, "and his party are Hizbullah, and they are successful." Because the last bit of this ayah says, "Inna Hizballahi humul muflihun." Now surely the party of Allah are the ones who will have ultimate success. So in a nutshell, Divinity's response to the plea of a woman changed the law. Family and social issues confronting the new Muslim community, hypocrisy is exposed, and the party of Allah is successful. May Allah make us of those in whose hearts iman is engraved. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.